Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Rosa Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy Thanksgiving, team. Happy Thanksgiving. Where are we this week?
Oh, I'm in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm in New Jersey.
I'm in Spain right now. So, Ooh. Yeah, that's exciting.
Ooh, España.
Yeah, see.
So probably not going to have like a traditional big Thanksgiving.
Well, I didn't think that we would be, but then everyone was so excited that it's going to be Thanksgiving that they're going to try and do like Thanksgiving food. But then they were like, no one really wants to eat a turkey though. So we're just going to eat chicken. And I was like, yeah, whoever really wants to eat turkey. Turkey is like the most subpar meat out there.
Yeah, there's a reason you only make it one time a year.
Mm-hmm. The least deserving meat to get his own holiday, you know?
What's the most deserving?
Ooh. Oh, I do love a Thanksgiving turkey though.
Oh, really?
Like, if it's done properly. Yes, but, like, if you mess it up, then it's really, really bad. Because I don't like dry. And so if it gets dry at all, then it's completely fucked, in my opinion.
And the other thing is, then you have so many leftovers because it's so fucking big, and turkey isn't really that good reheated. Like, you don't, like, it's so, it's, like,
no, unless
you
make like it cold. It is good cold. Really? Oh, I fuck with all things cold. I fuck with all things cold.
No.
And last year, we did our first Thanksgiving ever that was just like me and Danny because pandemic.
Yeah.
And I made my first turkey, and I gotta say, cancel me. I used the Allison Roman recipe from the New York Times. It was good. It's a really good recipe.
Where are you, Amanda?
I will be in Colorado.
Oh, that's fun.
Like land of mountains and legal weed. So that'll be very fun. Obviously, we didn't get to go anywhere last year. Are you guys going to encounter any, like, do you anticipate encountering any unvaccinated relatives? At least when you said New Jersey, is this going to be
Everyone's vaccinated, but oh, it's certainly a wider range of political opinions that at some point will come up. So... You know, we're prepped. We're ready. My aunt and I, who we're going to see, we have a good-natured political sparring that always occurs after a little bit of wine. And I'm sure that it'll happen again. So I need to do my research, get my facts on point. Get my little docket of, like, actually... In this many states, the minimum wage, you can't live. And like,
right. We should actually do that for people. We should prepare their Thanksgiving talking points. Help them. I'm already thinking about how to gerrymander a Thanksgiving table so that you can stay away from people who have different ideas. Do that strategically. Mm. So in honor of the holiday week, when some of you might be back where you grew up, or maybe you're kind of riding this very intense wave of 2000s nostalgia we've all been in, I kind of wanted to talk about that. I've been thinking about it a lot. We talked about it recently on the podcast with Taylor Swift's new album release, Taylor's Version. Brian, you're a Swiftie. Have to get your thoughts. How are you doing?
So, I mean, I think that every... artist should re-record their best albums, because especially when you make them when you're so long, it's just like fun. I don't know. Like, I'm a bigger Fearless fan Taylor's Version than I am a Red Taylor's version. Mm-hmm. To be honest, Red was never really my album of Taylor Swift choice, but I was still excited about it, obviously. And I love the vault tracks.
Red was a big one for me. So Red was a big return for me. I'm very interested to see what she does next.
Where are we going? Because
she's not doing them in order. She's doing them in Taylor's order. Mm-hmm. And so it's, so we'll see, because 1989 was a big one for me as well. So but I wonder, like, if she'll wait a little bit before, because that one's so recent.
Yeah, that one is
most recent. But it's so recent that it's like, I wonder if she feels the same value in going back. But though she does, obviously, like, she's doing it to make her own money, so she needs to re-record it.
She probably felt like this All Too Well moment was like, had to happen sooner than later, and it's on that album. Yes. So she just went for it. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's obviously very nostalgic. I mean, that album came out 12 years ago. There are reboots everywhere. I don't know how you can watch a show that's original anymore. There's Sex and the City reboot. Britney is now free. You can't open TikTok without seeing like something traumatic from middle school. This year especially to me has really felt like we just threw a boomerang into 2007 and here we are. And I'm curious about you guys' thoughts about where this comes from. I mean, I think every generation has a form of this, but millennials seem to be doing it with like dozens of social media platforms at our disposal. We've had a lifetime of geopolitical and economic turmoil. We've had so many advances and all of these crises. I'm curious if you guys think that, like, does every generation go through this point where we just can't stop referencing ourselves from 10 years ago? Or do you think there's something specific about this moment paired with, you know, the decades that have defined our lives that is making this particularly, like, potent?
I think that it's a little bit of both. Like, remember, not long ago, it was like the 90s kid nostalgia of that, like, millennials remembering when they were little kids and kind of like idealizing that time. And I think a lot of this early to new 2000s nostalgia is Gen Z doing that for their childhood as well. So they're, you know,
it's not even for us.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, I actually don't even think it's us that's doing it.
Yeah.
Number one, which is really interesting. I think it's a lot of like Gen Z rediscovering like things from when they were little kids in a similar way that millennials did with like, I'm a 90s bitch type stuff.
Oh, but yeah. Also, what a great song. Mm-hmm.
That was
You're from the 70s, but I'm a
90s bitch. I love it. yeah, I think that there's a lot of that energy, but I also do think that with regard to like the racial reckoning that happened in 2020, all this time that we've spent indoors, the Me Too movement, like I think that there is something about this time period about reflecting and going back and like re-looking at things and like reassessing your place within society and what things meant and like re-looking at media and kind of there's this idea that like everything is actually reopened for interpretation. And so I think that that is also a lot of what we're seeing. Like we're seeing people be like, okay, yeah, we have Gossip Girl, but what if actually Gossip Girl had some people of color in it? Like what, like let's shake it up. Let's take these properties and do what should have been done. Like, I think there's a lot of that, too.
So I'm going to piggyback up off of that because I've recently been reading Katie Couric's memoir, which is really, really good. I'm like I'm plowing through it.
I heard it's juicy.
It's real juicy.
Yeah.
Real, real juicy. She basically
I'm gonna add that to my list.
Yeah. It's like I'm like, oh, Katie, you said that. Like she's like she like rips into CBS and like basically like 60 Minutes.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. But so it's like reminding me of all these things that happened, and she talks about, you know, like what the work environment was and how men treated women, even in the public eye. And now, like you were saying with the Me Too movement, we're reexamining all these things that these men did, mostly to women. And like how they shaped the media and the conversation around these women. For like we said, we mentioned Britney, we mentioned even like Taylor Swift, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, all of in like just the way that we talked about any woman. It was Hillary Clinton. It was like, oh my God, how are we saying that? How is this okay?
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky. And so now we're like, and so it's making us feel nostalgic in that, like, oh, I want to feel better about the way things were. So I want to bring it back up to make it better again, if that makes
sense. I totally agree. I feel like there is like a vindication element. And then there's also things like, I think Sex and the City, the reboot, is a bit of an outlier because they actually were really appreciated at their time. I mean, they were teased and referred to as like, these are just gay men. Nobody talks about sex like this. But so I think maybe they're an exception. But when I think about like the way that Legally Blonde was received, like Elle Woods wasn't really considered like a serious character, I think, until, and now we sort of look at that movie and we look back at how it really was like revolutionary in showing that femininity can be an asset to you professionally. And it's not, it doesn't make you like a ditz and a dummy. And sometimes it's like now in 2021, because we're going to get a Legally Blonde, another one like next year. I mean, the opportunities in the world that like an Elle Woods could live in now is very exciting to me versus like the limits that were placed on her at that time. And I feel the same for things like the Sex and the City characters and even some of the Taylor Swift re-releases. It's like we're so attached to these characters and we want to bring them back because there's just more opportunities to have more dynamic characters. And for me, we said this yesterday, we said this especially about Taylor Swift and Britney for me personally, is that like to be able to bring them back and celebrate them now is like, it's a little bit of a vindication, but also like me liking Taylor Swift now is like, it's also because I like me more now.
Yeah. While we were talking about that in our Taylor episode, and I think another thing that's really nice about the re-records with Taylor is this opportunity to kind of go back and like actually treat her music with seriousness. Like people actually do like talk to her like she's a lyricist now, which she is. And like the way that All Too Well is being promoted and the way that it's really being promoted is like a brilliant song and like a really beautifully done piece of art. Like no one was talking to Taylor like that when she, like every interview was like, who's it about? Are you sad? Mm. Aren't you a sad little thing? Where'd you write your sad little songs from, girl? Who taught you to play the guitar?
Like, it's just like, are you really playing the guitar, Taylor?
Yeah. What boy taught you to play the guitar? But
like, she's like John Mayer. No.
So it's like, it's nice to, I really loved her interview on Seth Meyers about the re-release because it's really nice to like see her being treated with seriousness and her work being treated with seriousness. And because it is that good. Like she does deserve to have an interview on the level of any other like really seriously thoughtful, like whatever a highly respected artist does, because she's putting that much into the music.
Right. Like Bruce Springsteen does podcasts with like Barack Obama and she's the same like level of cultural. What I said to Sammy yesterday is a podcast with Taylor Swift and Brené Brown. I would simply,
oh my God,
pass away. Can you imagine?
The white women of the world couldn't handle it, unfortunately. Right. It would cause a collective shock around the world.
There is something that I have been trying to be sort of self-questioning about is a lot of these things we're returning to. Pop culture was in the early 2000s dominated by white people, as it has sort of always been, but even more in the 2000s and the 90s. So there is a certain level of discomfort when we're indulging that nostalgia and, you know, trying to figure out how to be inclusive with it and running into the fact that, yeah, of course, there was like TLC, there was Destiny's Child, there was a lot going on, but it was very sort of like segregated. And I've had sort of a suspicion that the kind of like culture-wide among, frankly, like white women in their late 20s and early 30s, really trying to re-inhabit that area is because it was easy. People didn't expect as much from us. People didn't want your TV to be more diverse. People weren't asking those questions. It's sort of like it's not a safe space, but I think people are tempted back to there because, yeah, like we said, it's sort of, they felt like Taylor said, there was like a sense of innocence that we've all lost and been exposed to our flaws, and we want to like re-inhabit that time when nobody was asking us those questions.
Well, I agree with that, and I also think I've read a bunch of like, I feel like I've seen this article pop up like a gazillion times online that's like, there's actually a reason why you rewatch like The Office or Friends or whatever over and over again. There's like a comfort to watching something that is like known to you.
Yeah.
And something where it's like you already know what's going to happen or whatever. And so, you know, in this time where we've needed a lot of comfort, I think it's interesting to see that it's like we're seeing this like movement towards like a ton of reboots. Stuff, properties that people recognize coming back, that kind of thing, because there's a comfort there. And then also just like with like the Disney and the Marvel of it all, there's like all these universes, like so much stuff is becoming like this character gets a show here and da da da. And people are like, I think really searching for like things that they know and things that are comforting. And a lot of that stuff would be tied back to childhood. It makes sense. Like, that a lot of that stuff would be tied back to a time where, like, you know, life wasn't necessarily easy, but, like, made a lot more sense. Like, it was like, I go to school, I get up, I come home, I do this. My mom and dad make all my doctor's appointments. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, you look back and you think of the good times. The things, even though they weren't, they seem better than they were. It's like putting a filter on your memories.
That's true.
Yes, Brian, it is.
Precisely.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So we touched on this already, but like, do you think this is something that every generation, it sounds like we do think this is something that every generation goes through, but do you think there is something about the last 2 years, 2020 and 2021, that has made our age group just want to disassociate even more and really lean into it? Or is it just, it's happened to hit our age group as TikTok did. So we're just seeing a lot more of it. I feel like I only want to go back to things that made me feel positive feelings. I only want to watch Sex and the City. I only want to watch those movies. I only want to listen to that music. I don't want to watch a documentary about the Capitol attack.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
Maybe in 10 years.
No, I can watch a documentary about the Capitol attack in my mind with my memories.
Yeah.
I have the information. Yeah. So.
Do you guys think it ever gets old? Do you ever get like, I know I sometimes find myself getting a little sick of ourselves.
I'm getting a little sick of myself and ourselves. Honestly, and I know this is a little blasphemous, I'm getting a little bit sick of the whole Taylor Swift news cycle. Like, I'm kind of over it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think today is the day.
But maybe that's because I am a long time Swift fan. And so, like, I'm like, okay, why is this all in my face right now? I like when I have to seek things out, but when I'm just like inundated with information about the things that like that I'm even interested in, it's still, it grows a little tiresome. That's why I also always get a little nervous about like the cyclical nature of these things. It's like, you know, we build up the person, then we pull them down to build them back up again. And then like, what happens next? It's like,
right.
Do they just
and now
stay?
We're talking about returning to like the fundamentals of who millennials are. So if that shit gets canceled and overexposed, we're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, okay, so I'm like, maybe let's not fly so close to the sun as right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'm just, when I watch sort of the nostalgia that takes off on TikTok, I'm like, is this nostalgia? It's like, congratulations, you have a memory. We all have memories. What if this is actually useful to reconsider and reframe? And I feel like, as we've mentioned, there are so many forces that have done that, like You're Wrong About, we bring up all the time. But
yeah.
I feel like they were sort of key, and those Monica Lewinsky, Jessica Simpson type stories, like reframing them as Brian alluded to, completely driven by the patriarchy and what men wanted from those women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, my hope is that what comes out of it, And I think that we do see this now, is that we're able to, that like cycle that you talked about, Brian, of like letting, especially female stars, like letting them rise super high just to like everyone collectively decide, like, actually, she's annoying. Mm-hmm. I think that we're seeing people stop that more in its tracks. Like, I'm trying to think about the last person that we really saw that happen to, you know, because like it could have been Olivia Rodrigo, like she's flying really high, but I'd also I don't see that coming for her. Like I'm, it's not
so Billie Eilish, I mean, though, recently, no, didn't people recently people not like Bill? Yeah, they're like, they thought her music this cycle was bad. Mm. They thought like she was making these like strange decisions in her personal life, or like say, like trying to cancel her for things she said years ago. So I don't know. It's just, I think it's like a little in the nature, but like we don't do this with men.
No, it's only female stars that get this like this like thing where it's like, like where, well, I'll see a female star get so popular that I'm like, something is gonna happen to her soon.
Exactly.
Because it just does. Whereas even now I feel like, I mean, and stan culture is its whole other thing, but I feel like at least now, like when people have like people who are standing for them, it might help like lessen the ability for people to drag them down that hard.
Totally.
Like, if you have a little stan army, they'll at least lift you up a little bit. They'll cushion your fall a little bit.
I do wonder if we're nearing the end of our millennial nostalgia, though. Like, how many, like, you remember that trend on TikTok that was, like, the sound of the girl from Squid Game? Like, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and then the millennial hears from the windows to the walls, and they can't help but dance. I'm like, oh, my God. Come on.
Like, that one, yeah, that was one too where I was just like, that's not a millennial song.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I think it's getting tired a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you say it that way, I feel like a part of it is that a lot of like, you know, primarily white millennials who grew up upper middle class, like they don't really have, I guess I'll say we have like an identity, a group necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like I contend to cling a lot to my Jewishness because it makes me feel like I'm not a boring person. So I think there's this real enthusiasm to be like associate with the group that is currently
like, I'm a millennial
and everybody's after us, but we're great because of this. And I think a lot of that is actually we're building up these things to bond over that are very self-inflicted, and these bonds are very, very loose. And I think maybe they like have served a purpose during this strange time, chiefly as we've gotten at, I think, like to reframe how terribly we treated some people. So like whenever it comes up in that context, I'm all here for it.
Yeah, I think millennials are also like having a bit of a moment with the fact that we're like in our 30s and 40s and Gen Z is like the new hot thing. And so we're like, no, remember us? We're cool too. And it's like a little bit like, oh, guys, let's just accept the process of aging as it is and know that ultimately the sands of time will erase all of these generational distinctions, and will probably be like, people will have no fucking clue what the difference between a person born in 1990 and 1995 is. Like, it's not going to be like, it's going to
so
be fine.
True. We get so worked. I always think about this with like breastfeeding recently, just because friends having babies, and it's like, I don't meet somebody and I'm like, you're really smart and intelligent. Were you breastfed? And I don't meet people that are, I think, are a little wacky. And I'm like, I bet they weren't breastfed. This never comes up again. Why do we torture ourselves?
It is funny.
And
like
harass each other for no reason.
Like these generations, they do, like you, I do identify as a millennial and you do see the differences as you're living in the time. But like ultimately, like, do you know the difference between someone who was born in 1920 and 1927? Like, probably not.
And if I
didn't,
and then they were to be really like, oh, you didn't know that I'm of this generation, I would be like, come on, calm down. That's not. Yeah, I think
people from 1927 use this slightly altered slang, and people from 1930, like, their dances are old. Like, it's just not a real.
I feel like the millennial thing, like, it used to be that we were the youngest, and now we're not. So we're like, shit, what are we? What's our identity? Yeah.
What's our identity?
But, like, what if we're all different and it's fine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I mean, I've been, like, liking my life more lately, the older I've gotten, because I think it's like, so like, I'm just like, okay, right. I'm like, I have a little bit more money now. I have like, I have the friends that I like. So I'm like, what am I going to complain about these young people?
Yeah. I don't miss my Tamagotchi at all. I have a dog.
No. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that really makes me laugh. I have an actual dog. Right.
People have straight up babies that are multiple children that I keep up. I don't need to. I'm not like, LOL, remember when you freezed your Furby? It's like, yeah, we all have memories.
Yeah,
congratulations. Go to therapy and come up with an identity.
As someone who like works in the meme business, I am very curious as to what is next, because I feel like what's been happening for the past year or two is growing stale. Like, before that, it was like, you remember, we would see all the meme accounts with like a picture of Tyra Banks, and then there'd be like some sort of joke at the top of it. Now people are Tyra Banks. I mean,
it was just years of digital blackface, and then it was millennial.
Yeah, and now it's like, it's still kind of happening, but now I'm just lip syncing to Tyra Banks. and so it's like, and then it's like, okay, so then what's the next version of that going to be? I don't think we know yet. I mean, I personally am not lip syncing to Tyra Banks. I'm not a lip syncer. I just want to put that out there.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Before we close, I want to ask, and Elise, I know you have like a unique relationship to nostalgia because you're on their podcast and you have so many cool conversations.
Yes, the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast, which, precisely, you know, people who are home for the weekend, whatever, you could catch up
on. Oh, it's great for that. It's great for that. If you could relive one day from the year 2000, pre-9/11, well, I guess you probably wouldn't remember exactly what you did in the year 2000, but if you could relive one day of middle school, what would it be?
Oh, one day of middle school? Oh, I would go. I went to Warped Tour, so I would go to Warped Tour.
Yeah,
Warped Tour 03, baby. Taking Back Sunday, the whole shebang. I had to call my mom because it got too hot. I needed to get picked up.
But you would do it again.
Well, yeah, and I would bring water because that was my fatal flaw. Is that I didn't. I was 13, and I was just like, I'm gonna stand in the boiling sun and drink not one sip of water for 10 hours, and then be like, "Mom, I'm feeling really sick."
Brian, what about you? Does anything come to mind?
Not really. Middle school was awful. It's not that awful. I just think of like any, like, not to get meta, but you know. Anytime, I don't like to, I wouldn't live any time before I came out, if that makes sense. So I came out at 18, so I would go back to seeing Lady Gaga during the Fame Monster Ball tour when I was 18 at MSG. Yeah. That would
that would be incredible. That's definitely a very privileged question. Like, I'm sure, like, Gen Xers are to, like, their black friends. If you could go back to 1960, what day would you relive? Well, I'm pretty good here. See, I'm with you, Brian, but I would just live, like, any of them. I would go to the mall, and I would spray love spell all over myself, and I would go, you know, buy shit, and like, if I would go to the mall on the weekends, my mom was very nice, she would always give me $40, and so I could like buy fast fashion and not have any sense of the ethical dilemmas. I would eat in the food court. I would just do everything I did with my best friend Barbara and not a care in the world.
That's true. That'd be beautiful. That actually sounds lovely.
Sounds lovely. Maybe I should go do it and make a TikTok about it.
Except there's no stores.
Go back to your mom.
I know, it's like so sad. It's really sad.
Can we find a DeRay's catalog? No, but I've heard that malls are a bummer now. Interesting. Yeah.
Even in the city, like I was walking through the Herald Square one and I was like, Jesus, this is bleak.
Yeah, that one's always been pretty bleak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was more of a shelter. Yeah.
I think it is. I'm glad. It really is.
To bring it full circle to Taylor Swift, you could meet her behind the mall, you know?
Oh, perfect. Excellent. I liked that better. I was going to end with like, what are we grateful for? But that's, I liked that better.
I'm grateful for Taylor.
Yeah. I'm grateful for Taylor, and her bridges, her infrastructure.
I'm grateful for Taylor's infrastructure.
I'm thankful for Taylor's infrastructure. It really was infrastructure week.
All Too Well came out, and Biden signed the infrastructure bill into law. There's so many bridges in that damn song.
This country's never been stronger. Mm-hmm. That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.